Okay. Like Dorothy, when we moved to Castroville in 93, the community enjoyed the service of the Medina San Geronimo Telephone Company. And it was a battery and magneto system of early vintage. Numbers were rarely used. She's showing the motion of turning it. Numbers were rarely used. You asked the operator or whoever you wanted to talk to, and often Mabel would say, well, I could call that number, but I know that Faustina's over at Ethelyn's, and so I might as well call there. And so that's how we get what we wanted. The rural subscribers had their own instruments and their own maintenance. The number on the party line was as high as 20-odd on the line up to the lake. The chief recreation for invalids and housewives and other shut-ins were to listen in, as we all know. Hence the nickname that we gave it when we came there was the PA system. Our first experience was from a long-distance call on a November evening. Uncle Monroe Rust had called, and we had made arrangements for a visit. It was agreed that they would come on Thursday, as Ellis would have the day off. And Unc and Auntie arrived at the scheduled time, but they missed our gate. So they stopped at the next house, a mile or so up the river, and asked for directions to the Burgess home. And the lady said, I thought I recognized that voice. But you're too early. They're not expecting you until Thanksgiving. She had forgotten that Armistice Day was on a Thursday, too. Auntie and Unc were from Houston, so they got a particularly big kick out of it. Another time we returned late from a PTA meeting to find the river was running through our place, over the road, and just a mess in general. The canal had broken. Naturally, our first reaction was to call the operator and see what we were supposed to do. But this time, the operator didn't know what to do. But it was all right, because the same lady up the river said, well, you call Mr. Smith in Divine, and he'll have it fixed in no time. Sure enough, by morning, the road was dry, everything was clear, the canal was fixed. So the PA system wasn't all bad. It was really a necessity. Bell didn't entirely rob the telephone of its personality. In the fall of 64 was notable for two things. My orchids and our son's earaches. After Christmas, I thought I would surprise the lady across the river and take her an orchid because she'd been so nice and all. But it was no surprise. Thanks to the frequent calls to Mrs. Gooch and the discussions of which orchid was in bloom and what color and everything, when I brought the orchid, she wasn't surprised to see anything about it. She also said that she was tempted to come over and take care of Bill when he was out of school and homesick. After one of us called him from work to see how he was getting along. Another time, I don't suppose you know the Noonans. I've never heard you call them by or mention their name on the phone. But it was a fun time, and I think we all have missed the San Geronimo. We depended on them so much with all of our businesses, as Ellis was traveling an awful lot. So if we had a big windstorm, I didn't want Mabel or Winnie to say, well, we had a bad windstorm. And of course, the lines out to the country were all tangled up. So when I came home from school, I'd use a fishing pole and divide the lines all the way into town. So when Ellis called that night, the phone would be fixed and he could call home. We thank you. Mabel wants to say something.
I'm going to tattle on myself now. We only had 2 long-distance circuits to San Antonio, and very often Honda would have to come through us to go to San Antonio, and sometimes we would have to go through Honda in order to get to San Antonio when our 2 circuits were busy. And on this one particular day, Honda had come through us for a circuit to San Antonio, and I happened to open the key to see if the conversation was finished or whatever. And when I opened the key, it sounded pretty interesting. It seems that a grain dealer from Honda had shipped a carload of corn to California someplace, and this guy from California was complaining that there was a dead rat in the load of corn. So the Honda grain dealer said, so send the whole car back, rat and all. And I also want to say that the people that we were the answering service for were very kind to us all the time. They always remembered us at Christmas time and gave us lovely gifts, which we appreciated, and showed that they appreciated that we were their answering service.
At least you got rewarded for all that help. When you talk about how you had to go from one town to the next to get through, Billy Rohde had told me a story, and if he would be here, he would, we'd get it. He didn't show up, did he, Rosie? He's not here yet, is he, Billy? He didn't, he went to Austin. But he told me this story, and I just thought about it, and I believe I'll try to tell it. He said one night, a bunch of guys were sitting around, McNulty's, I guess, that's when, at the cafe, and they were all talking, so they start arguing about a certain point in history, and nobody seemed to know the answer. So one of them said, well, and Epp Finger was there amongst the group, and they said, well, why don't you just call President Eisenhower? He's out in Denver tonight. So Epp just went to the phone and phoned up to Central. It was Mr. Mocho Britz. And he said, get us President Eisenhower in Denver. And so Mocho said, okay. And so anyhow, then they went back and drank some more beer and talked. And it seemed they finally came to the conclusion. They had the answer. Well, Billy said, one of them said, well, Epp, you better tell Mocho now. He doesn't have to go on with that call. So he called up to Mocho, said, Mocho, stop the call. He said, we've got the answer. And he said, oh, no, he said, I've gotten all the way to Abilene, and there's no stopping me now. Vivian, where are you? Vivian? Vivian has a little story, I think. You want to come here? That's fine.
I just wanted to reminisce a little bit, I guess, about New Year's Eve. This was before we were old enough to go out New Year's Eve, but we would get together at one of the girlfriend's house, and usually we'd go to the one where we knew we wouldn't have any that talk or what from the lady of the house. And New Year's Eve, we would wait until midnight and try to be the first one to call Central Indiana's and wish her a Happy New Year. That was really the extent of our happy, or New Year's Day, was to wish the Central Indigenous a happy New Year first.
Did she appreciate it?
We didn't wait for an answer. At that time, of course, it was closed, you know, from 9 in the evening to 7 the next day. Another thing about Central being a watchdog in Dehennis, as Henry Martin said, the person that was sitting up there always knew where the people were in town because there were two windows that she could look out and watch. I think Mr. Britz was the one that did most of this watchdogging when I was growing up, and he could always answer wherever anybody would happen to be in town, whether it was downtown on the sidewalk or whether it was across the railroad track at the beer joint or the restaurant over there or at the service stations. But the Central really knew where the people were, if they were anywhere in Dehennis, or if they left town, if they saw them heading west or heading east, they knew that too.
Has anybody else got a little story they'd like to hear somebody?
I've got one here. In the early days, they had a racehorse meet in San Antonio. Some characters from San Antonio, from Castro went in there, took three horses in there. Well, one was Moody Holler. I don't know if you all know Moody Holler. And my friend Oscar Blue Havy, who passed away here about a month ago. Well, here comes a big storm in. They canceled the race. It snowed and everything, so they had to bring those horses home. And old Moody says, I'm not going to ride those horses home. I'm not going to ride them home. Well, what are we going to do? Well, Blue Haven says, there's a telephone. We go over there and call. So he went over there and rang. Hello? Operator? I want Joe Naglin. Joe Naglin, she says. The dumb so-and-so don't know Joe. He said to Blue. Anyway, Blue Baby said, why don't you tell her you want a Castorville? Okay. Hey, I want Castorville, Joe Naglin. So she finally got a hold of Joe Naglin to come and get these horses and haul them back with his truck. Well, Joe Naglin says, I can't come in, it's too cold. So Blue said, what are we going to do, Moody? We stay here, but I don't have any money for a hotel room. Well, that's a story that he said, he used the other words. I didn't want to. One night I was up in Medina Lake, a bunch of us boys from Castroville had a big party. In those days, we were about 18 or 19 years old. We had a beer party up there. In those days, you could drink when you were young. And it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, I think. Anyway, I said, wonder what time it is. So one guy says, call the Central office. You know who was working? Miss Kleber. And I says, hello. I says, what time is it? Damn it, the hell, it's time for you to be at home.
And, well, thank you. Anybody else want to share something? Nooksie, did Beatrice, you want to ask your mother if she wants to? She said something to me sooner that maybe she would tell a story. She's one of our older citizens here today. Would you want to? No? No? Somebody else has had some party line tales, I'm sure. All these
Bertha,
people.
I'll say a word while
okay,
thinking about it. We'll get a few more. I know I look much too young to have been a party to the party line system, but way back in the 30s, I remember up at Quihe going to Ernest Bindley's home to stay, and the phone would ring, we'd be outside, and Alice would always say, one of you go in there, run in there and answer the phone. So I would run in and sometime and get on a box. Hilmer taught me this, get on a box, take the receiver off just gently, and listen in. And I heard lots of things which I can't remember. But I think the statute of limitations had passed, and I'd just like to ask, Bert, if we could see a show of hands. We're not taping this, no names. How many of you will make full catharsis that you listened in on a party line back when? Let me see your hands. Hey! The last thing I'd like to say that in looking at these young ladies here, I don't know if they were selected by a telephone company for their looks or their voices, but they have both, I think. Thank you, Bertha.
Oh, did Catherine Black come today? Is she here? Catherine Bodder Black told me on the phone, she called to tell me that if she couldn't come today, I should bring her history book. And then she said, you know, I remember going out to the Zimmermans, I guess they're in Lacoste, Castroville area. She said they would spend vacations there, and the kids were always going in to listen to this phone when it would ring, and the grandma Zimmerman, I think, would spank them if they did it. She was trying, and she said, but it didn't stop them at all. She said it was such a novelty for them, they didn't have one at home, so they just took their spankings, but they still listened. I know we didn't have one here in town, so it was... Lyric Roadie's place, and to get to hear that. But the funniest thing was my dad, who didn't, well, he would never pay any attention to such things, but in the end of his life, we had a phone down to our ranch, and it was on a party line. So bless Pat if he didn't sometimes pick up that phone and listen at while he was sitting at the ranch house waiting for Matt to come in or something. And would tell that he absolutely had listened on the phone. So we thought that was the height of it all, that he listened on the party line. But the funnier thing was that Mama used to phone down to the ranch to tell him, give him messages, like there's a man up here who wants to buy a bull. And he'd say, how's that? What's that? And you'd never hear it right. So Ethel Nestor, who I really asked to come here today, I don't think she made it, she would finally get so perturbed about it, and she'd say, darn it, she said there's a man up there that wants to buy a bull. And so he'd finally get the message, you know. But I talked to her the other day, and I said, you ought to come and tell some of those stories. And she said, well, your daddy was hard of hearing, and I had to always tell him. But anyhow, she said she didn't feel like coming, I guess. Come on, somebody else surely wants to relate something else. Well, it was a time of fun that we'll never have again, I guess. There'll never be that type of where people will tell who's driving where and who's where. And that made me think, too, of... I think when Lois married Herb Zinsmeyer, she told this story, she and Herb would call down here to talk to Martin Zinsmeyer, and it would be at night, and so it would always be mucho in the office, and they'd say, we're, you know, person to person to Martin Zinsmeyer, and he'd say, one time he said, just a minute, he said to the operator in Pennsylvania, there's a train going by now, would you hold on? And so then after the train had gone by, they'd say Martin Zinsmeyer, and he would look out the window, said, well, I believe he's over at McNulty's. and he'd try there, and then, no, no, he said, I believe now I'll try over to the Gulf Station, but he would just look out the window, just like you're saying, and do the same things, catch somebody wherever they were. So I think that personal touch is gone. Anybody else have anything?
A lot of times we would have to repeat conversations to get two party lines hooked up together, and they were so noisy that they couldn't hear one another, so you'd pull the plug and tell them what they said, and then you'd plug that in and pull the other plug and tell the other person what they said. So that was a game back and forth, repeating this conversation. In the meantime, the board was there wanting to be answered, but we couldn't answer it because we were repeating this conversation.
But in the meantime, we were sleeping.
Right. You didn't sleep. Well, anybody get any proposals on the telephone in here? Uh-oh. Here's Nora Carr.
I lived here in San Antonio, and on the back porch, the phone was real close to it, and then the screen, and so I listened, and they knew I was listening. She says, I declare, she must be in a windy place. Because there was a plant there, was just a rattling, and they said, well, I said, well, they got me cornered here, so I say, well,
well, there must have been a lot of you who made dates on that party line, and the whole neighborhood knew it. I don't know if you had any signals. Beatrice, Joanne, you all were up on the party line. Did you have any way to not let everybody know who was going where at what time? Oh. Wait a minute.
Hey, Joanne.
Tell it to everybody.
We were on the party line with the roadies, and there were 32 on our party line, starting at the roadie ranch all the way to Dehennis. So you didn't worry about the people further down because the signal was so weak with everybody listening, they couldn't hear it anyhow.
Yeah, that's the truth. The more that listened, the weaker the signal got. So, I don't know. Did Francis want to say something? Francis Cook or his wife? Okay.
We had a man that was a well driller, and he had come from San Antonio one day, and he called in frantically yelling, my release, my release, I've lost it, I've lost it. And we said, well, where? And he said, on the bus, and it had a windmill and a pump jack on it.
A release.
One day we got a signal to call the fire department, and the mother was frantic. Her two little boys were in the storage room, and they had their hot water heater in there, and somehow they had set fire to the storage room. And in the meantime, she said, I don't know, I have to tell you the name. Floyd Tunder was the postmaster, and she said, I don't know how I'm going to get a hold of Floyd. There's no telephone there, and these kids have set this storage room on fire. And so I said, well, I'll just walk over there and tell him. So I went over and told him his house was on fire.
That's what I call service. Okay. Well, if maybe you'll reminisce some more while you're having cookies and lemonade a little later on, or unless there's somebody else. Anybody else have something you want to share? It's open to anybody. Anybody? This is your time. This is a town of talkers. And I think Medina County is known for all of us who love to talk. Now, here's your chance. Come on, tell us something. Well, I want to thank all of you who helped out today and shared your memories with us. I'm sure it sparked a lot of memories in all of us. Just what you said probably made us remember a lot of events in our lives. And I also want to take the time now to thank the committee today. Where are they? Gene and Lawrence Winan and Dottie and Wayne Cheney. And they had a lot of good help. I saw Sue here, and I know that I don't know how many other girls and guys helped with other things. Bake cookies. You're going to have some wonderful homemade Dehennis cookies. Dorothy Jaggi used to always say, they make the best cookies in Dehennis. She would always tell everybody at our St. Pius Parish. So we're sorry we won't have Maribel's anise cookies. She certainly will be. We'll be thinking about her as we eat those cookies. And I thank them for all they've done. And in September, we'll be in Castroville. Oliver will have the program on cemeteries in Medina County. And Ethelyn and Mary Margaret are going to be our host is chairman there, and all the rest will help them, I hope, in Castroville. Thank you, everybody.
Well, thank you, Bertha, and thank all of you. But I kept wondering, too, how did you court? How did you do all that courting in the old days on the party line? I guess I never knew a party line, but it sounds like a lot of fun. I do have a couple of announcements. If you remember the September meeting when we had Mr. Paul Ward from the Archaeological Society, well, Mr. Ward called the other day, and he would like to invite CCHA members to come to a dig on the Quihe Road. Let me read the letter to you. That'll help. The Southern Texas Archaeological Association and the University of Texas Institute of Texan Cultures will hold a field school on September 21 through 29. The location is Site 41 ME 53, Quinta Medina Ranch, Medina County, Texas. It goes on to say who the principal investigator will be. The field school will be limited to participants. If you are so inclined to want to dig, then there is a fee. But for CCHA members, just to come in and watch, he will not charge you. So you're welcome to come in, and he would suggest that probably you waited until about September 23rd or 24th, after they get the site all set up and the things in place, unless you want to come and watch them do all that at the beginning. So remember that it's right there at Three Points, Charlie, with it. You just go down the road, and I believe it's on the right, Quinta Medina Ranch. And then if you have your ranch or your place or some place that you would like to have a dig, if you would call Mr. Ward or get in touch with me, I'll get the word to him. We'll put this in the newsletter for you, but in the meantime, be thinking about it. It'd be a wonderful chance to see a dig. They know some things that they're pretty sure of some things that they're going to find there. So those of you in Medina County and otherwise would like to be a part of that. So keep that in mind. Again, the Bietiger family reunion is Sunday, July 7th. All you Bietigers, Larry sent his newsletter again. We always appreciate hearing from them. And remember, August 28th. Guess what day that is? Does anybody know? Good CCHA members. 16th anniversary of CCHA. So remember that. And remember, if you'd like to help out at the fair, And Bertha told you about the next meeting, September 22 in Castroville. And then we have a big door prize. I'll let Bertha do that.
This door prize was donated by Cecile and her daughters, the Cook family from Hondo. So we're going to do something different today. We're not going to look for a number or anything. I'm going to ask a question, and the first person who shouts out the answer will get the prize. Okay, now we're going to have to be all ears. I hope not 20 of you will know it right away. Okay. You remember the old, should they raise their hand?
The first one
to raise the hand then, I guess. Okay, you watch. All right, remember the old Fibber McGee radio show? All of you who are old enough can remember that. All right, on that program, he always made phone calls, and what was the name of the operator? He always talked to the operator. Is that you? Yeah, that's right. Is that you, Mert? Yeah. And what was funny tonight, right over here, Miss, you told the story about Mert. Come tell that. Before we started, yeah, tell.
Wait just a
second. All the telephone operators in the civil service office where I work were known as Mert. They would, the sailors would ring up and say, "Is that you, Mert?" And we would answer, "Yes."
Well, that's where that came from, the old Fibber McGee show. Okay, I want you to open it and hold it up because it's really cute. Yeah, something real cute. Mr. Herbert Billhart came up with Mert. I thought you were going to say it too. You were being nice, okay. It's a miniature telephone, wall telephone that can be put on a, yeah.
How about that, Herbert? You think you can do a little party line listening on that? Again, we want to thank Cecile and Moni and Aileen for providing that. That's really cute. Cecile was Mrs. Operator, and for how many years? You said 37 or something, but everybody knew Cecile. She worked in the old days and the new days of the telephone. Right, and a fantastic chief operator. And what, Cecile, is 80, are you 85, 86, 85? You forgot. She's a young operator, yeah. She's a young operator. Well, go home and think about all the party line stories that you might share with us, and just write it down. If you don't want to give a name, don't give a name. But at any rate, send a story in, because as we have said before, we're keeping records of all this, and one of these days you're going to want to come back and do a little history research, and you might like to know about the old party line. Again, I want to thank the hostesses for the day. Stay around, have fun, and Mary Margaret has something.
The dancers are so in step with the old girls.
All right. The Alsatian Dance Group will be selling these cute little Alsatian dolls, little boy and girl. You can do lots with these. They don't have to be in a tree ornament. You can do lots of things with these. Necklaces, earrings, hat, decorations, anything you can think of for $5 a pair to help raise funds. These are fresh from Alsace. So, you know, let's have $5 for the dance group. And Mary Margaret will be over here somewhere with them. Thank you, Mary Margaret.
Thanks.
Yes.
There will not be a Bastille Day celebration in San Antonio this year. Right. Well, for various reasons, they are having a party, but they're not having the fair, the Bastille Day at La Vita this year. Next year, they hope. We'll see. Anybody else have an announcement they'd like to make? If not, we didn't know we were going to have a hurricane today. The other day when I was talking to Jean Winan, she was wondering, some good ideas for serving. So, Jean, it's always going to be either hot, as you know what, or it's going to be raining. Well, we got it. Well, you have good lemonade and cookies, so y'all stay and visit, and I declare the meeting closed. So let's have a good, fun time. Thank you all for coming today.